Second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase here on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Another fast-moving show. Floyd Reese in the on-deck circle set to join us. Jonnu Smith at the bottom of the hour, Titans tight end. Silly underdog picks at high noon. Elliott Freeman at 1 o'clock and Casey Alexander in the final hour as well. There's news on the college basketball front, but former Titans GM. And now you can hear the GM every day on these airwaves, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. And this segment is brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, what's going on?
Not much. How are you guys today? I'm excited about that Jonnu Smith. That'll be a good interview.
He has turned into quite the player. Delanie Walker, those are big shoes to fill. And, you know, you always kind of heard the comparisons when they drafted him, which you probably cringed when you were general manager, like, yo, this is the next so-and-so, which is never fair to the young man. But I'll tell you what, I like his progression. Yeah, you know, he's had to live in the shadows of Delanie Walker. Now Delanie Walker's not around, and I think he just keeps moving forward with what he brings to the table in his career.
You know, it's interesting because, like you said, filling Delanie's shoes was probably impossible for most people, not just Jonnu, but I think when you see the things that he brings, like that screen that he ran, I want to say like in the first or second series last week, and it was like a third and 20 or a second and 20, and he picked up 22 yards. That was a heck of a play. I mean, yeah. It was not only you got to catch a screen, you got to get started, but just avoiding people down the field, running with the ball, doing some of those things. He really looked impressive. So, you know, I think there's a ton he's going to be able to do, not just like Delanie. It'll be a little bit different, but hopefully the outcome, the final analysis, will be very similar.
You said last week, Floyd, it was 3 days ago. So that led me right into my next question. How do you do this quick turnaround? I mean, they got in. I mean, Tuesday's almost wasted, right? You get in almost the sun coming up on Tuesday morning from Denver. And you've got this short week. How do you keep the excuses, the easy excuses that people would have of, man, you know, short turnaround, short week? How do you keep all that out of the locker room and keep the focus on getting things done on Sunday?
Yeah, as crazy as it seems, you almost have to ignore it. And it's funny because as a coach, on one hand, you're telling them to ignore it. You know, don't worry about it. It's, you know, we're still going to have practice days. We'll put this thing together. And on the other hand, when you're going out to practice, you know, it's not the same. You're kind of taking care of them a little bit because you know, especially this year, you know that those guys are sore as Dickens. It's like Derrick Henry, you know, carry the ball 31 times after doing virtually nothing. You know, during camp, during the off season, during as far as getting hit, and you add up the number of licks he took during that game carrying the ball. I mean, he's got to be sore all over. So you're saying, okay, Derek, this is just another week. You know, it doesn't matter that we're short a day, et cetera, et cetera. And yet you're saying, okay, Derek, now we're going to take take care of you a little bit this week so you're not quite as sore come Sunday. So, you know, he's saying, wait a minute, if this is just a regular week, I can just do regular work. And and so it's difficult. But like you said, I mean, you know, they didn't get in until sunrise on Monday. And then you turn around, what does that do to Tuesday? Well, Tuesday's wasted. And now Wednesday, you're trying to get them back a little bit, you know, make sure they get some kind of workout, get the soreness in. Then you've got to turn around and practice for a game.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It really is. It's not. And like I said, I'm not sure in a normal season that it would be quite as bad because they've already been through some of this. They've had preseason games they had to come back off of. But because of the way this whole off season and the whole virus thing went, you know, this is a little bit different. It's going to be interesting to see how they react.
I said this on Tuesday's show when we were kind of recapping the game and talking about the game, and I really hesitated to throw out any comparisons. Just like what I said at the beginning about Jonnu Smith, I kind of cringe at doing that stuff. I don't think it's fair, especially if you're throwing out examples of, you know, future Hall of Famers or the best in the game. But I want to get your take because, I mean, it's you don't have to have special eyes, special football eyes, to see what Jeffrey Simmons looked like on Monday night. I mean, he really stood out. I mean, I was blown away at how disruptive he was. And quite honestly, I started thinking about, you know, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh in today's game. And I started thinking about Albert Haynesworth, you know, that you drafted. So I'm just going to ask you, it's still very, very early in his career, but he just continues to get better and better. You drafted Albert Haynesworth. You saw the best of Albert Haynesworth. When you see Jeffrey Simmons, you know, what do you see? Do you think they're close? Do you think you see a lot of the same a lot of the same traits? What do you make of Jeffrey Simmons this early in his career?
You know, I'm like you. I'm always hesitant to do it, and yet you can't ignore it. You know, you see him do things, and you hear about him doing things like him in practice chasing down a screen, and, you know, they clock it in. He's 18 miles an hour at 310 pounds or however, whatever he weighs. I mean, the difference between the superstar inside player, defensive tackle type player, and the good players is what they do versus the pass, because you find a lot of big guys inside that can play the run. You know, they stand in there and they thump the guard and they slide along the line of scrimmage and make a tackle, and that's all well and good, and that helps the defense. But when you get the guy that can do that and put pressure on a quarterback and chase down a screen at 18 miles an hour and, you know, go in on goal line and short yardage and make tremendous plays and do those things, you're talking about a different guy now. You know, I mean, the good Lord doesn't make a lot of those guys. And when you get a guy of that size, that athleticism with that kind of, want to, if you will, then you have to look at it and you have to go, you know what, maybe this guy is just a little bit different. So that's, you know, certainly what we're hoping. And I think judging from what he did last year after such a tough start, you know, no practice, no anything, come in the middle of the year and play and do some of the things he did, which I would have thought was going to be really, really hard, if not impossible, he did it. And now you see only one game. We know that, but you see what he did against Denver, and you kind of go, you know what? I think I'll feel a little bit better about this guy, hopefully, week after week.
Floyd, with that in mind, Simmons is really showing he's taking a step forward. Now you put Clowney in the mix, too. I think it's a wait and see. A lot of people thought he kind of ran out of gas as the game went along, but what was your first impression of Clowney out there?
You know, I didn't, to be honest, I didn't notice him a great deal. Now, I wasn't watching it. I know when he went into the game, a lot of people just focused on him. You know, let's see what he's doing. When I watch a game, you know, I usually want them to stand out. I want them to make me look at them. And they have to do that by doing something, you know, really special. And like Simmons, we were talking about Simmons, some of the things that he did. And I didn't see that, but that if there's a giant positive about a lot of areas of this team, I think it's from the standpoint that I could draw up a scenario for you where you would be salivating at the opportunity to have these guys on your team. You know, if I say, okay, here's a Landry that is, you know, just a couple of year player, and he's already almost gotten to double digit sacks. And now here's a guy that led the NFL in sacks. And now you take a guy like Clowney, who is, you know, the key word has always been disruptive for him and the potential, and you go, wow, he could be a real factor. And then just to top it off, let's throw Simmons in there. And you look at those four guys and you go, uh-oh, this might be a pretty good group. And and it's not completely hoping, because you've seen those guys do it. I say the same thing about the receiving group. You know, you say, okay, how is this receiving group? And you say, well, if Davis goes out and has his best year, he's already caught 65 passes, so we know he can do that. Humphreys, he's already caught, you know, say 65 passes. You say, ooh, there's another nice addition. And then you say, and then there's guy A.J. Brown, who led all rookies last year, 1,000-yard receiver. And you go, ooh, that's okay. And then we got this little tight end that we kind of like, you know, his name's Jonas Smith. And then we take the number one rusher in the league and put him behind all of that. And you go, wow, You know, that might be a pretty potent group. So I think it gives you hope from this standpoint. You can look at those guys and you can say, I know they can do it because we have seen them do it. Now, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it all at the same time? Are they going to do it all for this team? That is the hope part of the whole equation.
What is your honest assessment of Gardner Minshew? He played a really good game on Sunday, unexpectedly led them to a win. I know he doesn't have the physical tools. Is he that rare guy that can overcome not having the gifts that most NFL top-level quarterbacks have?
You know, it's interesting, Willie, because I was looking at, of course, I saw the game this weekend, and statistically, I mean, it was very average for them across the board. You know, I think they ran less than 50 plays on offense. He threw like 19 passes or 20 passes. I think it's 19 for 20, something along those lines. But for 170 yards, okay. You know, the rookie running back came in and gained some yards, gained 60 yards or so. And you say, okay, that's all well and good. But they were so efficient.
Yeah, 19 for 20.
And the things that they did. And the young quarterback, it's similar to the first game we played them last year when they came down here and beat us. You look at the numbers, very similar. You know, he was really, really good in completion percentage. He was really, really good from the standpoint that he found receivers, got the ball to them, they caught it and scored. But as far as the numbers, you compare what we did compared to what they did, we should have won, you know, 35-10 or something. And I'm sure Indy's saying the same thing. They're looking at their numbers and they're going, oh man, we should have won this game. How did we lose this game? But the bottom line is, if you go out there, you make a mistake or two, you throw an interception or two, you get you have a fumble or two, and they don't have any, and the quarterback is as efficient as he was those two games, then, you know, you're probably going to lose.
So do you like Minshew long term? Do you think he can be a guy, like if you're looking at the Jaguars and you're saying, well, you know, you got Trevor Lawrence out there and you know, are we looking for the next guy, or is there any chance that this guy could surprise them enough to say, you know, this is that rare guy who's pretty special?
You know, that's really going to be, in my mind, something you have to see on a week-to-week basis. You know, you have to really know this kid. I can pull up those two games that we were talking about and you look at that and you go, yeah, this guy looks like he's got a chance to be something special. But then you look at some of the other games where they go out there and they're not the benefactor of a couple of interceptions or a couple of fumbles. And, you know, instead of him throwing touchdowns, he's throwing incompletions. They're not running the ball, all of those kinds of things. And all of a sudden they look pretty average. But I think when you look at the upside, you know, for them, you have to be pretty excited. And I think you probably have to think you're maybe on the right path with this guy. I'm going to guess, this is just a guess, but after the Blake Bortles experiment and how that all went, they're probably going to be a little bit more hesitant, you know, to go ahead and pin this guy up as the franchise guy, because they've already seen where, you know, a guy leads you to the AFC championship game and then, you know, you can't win a game after that.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, former Titans GM, co-host of Jared and the GM 2-6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Darrington Evans, the rookie running back, returned to practice yesterday. He was a full participant according to the injury report. So if he plays, if he makes his NFL debut on Sunday against the Jags, Floyd, what do you need to see out of that young man in his first game?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, this is kind of the state of the league after what we've been through this offseason. Last week, without him, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my God, how are they going to back up Derek? Derek can't go out there and play every snap, not the way Derek plays. You know, he's not going to finish it. So you have to say, okay, well, we've got to have somebody that can go in there and be the backup and give him that spell that, you know, whether it's six times handling the ball or 10 times, but give him a spell. But then the young guy's not there, and you go, oh, my God, what are they going to do? Well, and the young guy's never played. We've never seen him play a snap.
Right.
We don't know if he can play or not. But in my mind, I'm excited that he's going to be there simply because – they're saying, okay, this guy in our mind is good enough to be the backup running back. And the backup running back means I'm okay with him going out there and spelling Derek for those 8 or 10 plays a game, whatever it is. And so, I have to say I'm excited. And like I said, I've never seen him put a jock on, so I don't know.
What's your concern level with, they didn't really address the receiver position in the offseason. Khalif Raymond did enough for them last year to make them think, all right, this is going to be a piece. I didn't think he was all that great Monday night. I know there's a lot of things to clean up offensively anyway, but are you concerned of not having that burner at wide receiver like Raymond is supposed to be?
You know, it's a factor, and you'd certainly like to have that. You know, my number one concern right now, of course, is, the depth. I mean, God forbid, we've got two receivers now that are, partial. With Corey's got a hamstring, and yeah. I don't know what Brown's got, something else. Well, if those guys can't play, who plays? Who goes in?
Right.
You know, you got nobody. I mean, Raymond has caught 9 passes last year. You know, he's got like 15 in his whole career. And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, that's your fourth guy? And then you're saying, that's our fourth guy. What about our fifth guy? Well, we don't even know who our fifth guy is. So it's the depth at that position, and I said this before the season ever started, is really a concern for me because maybe it's just us, I'm not sure, but we've seen Corey Davis miss games. We've seen, Humphreys miss games. We've seen those guys. And you say, well, if I've got a fourth guy, I mean, even with Tajay Sharpe, we had at least seen him catch 35 or 40 passes or whatever it was, in a season. And we've seen him score touchdowns. You say, okay, he can do that. He'll go in there and he'll fill in. He's certainly not as good as a starter, but he will fill in. I'm not sure right now who we can say that with, and that is a concern.
How did you feel about Dennis Kelly starting at right tackle in the offensive line overall?
I think the Dennis Kelly, I can only, like I said before, I mean, I notice these guys when they do something really, really good or really, really bad, and I saw him get beat one time, that flashed, and I saw that. Other than that, he looked like he was pretty solid. The offensive line as a group, I thought it was really interesting because as I'm watching the game and I watch Derek running on the line of scrimmage, and in my mind I look at that play and I go, jeez, he gained a yard. That's not second and nine is not going to be good enough. And then all of a sudden they move the chains and it's second and five. And I'm going, whoa, where'd those other 4 yards come from? And so you kind of, as I watched it, I got the impression, the offensive line was knocking them back, was moving them. And even though we didn't break the long run that we're used to seeing Derek break, we were consistent from the standpoint that, we could take it on first down and it was going to be second and less than 10. It was going to be second and four, second and five, second and six. All of those are acceptable. And you say, okay, fine, we can do that. But we certainly didn't get the big play that you're used to from Derek. And it may be that way for a while. People, let's face it, if you're playing us, your number one objective, especially as a defensive coach, is to make sure they're not going to run the ball.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese, 2 to 6 weekdays with Jared Stillman here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Floyd Reese, brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Jonnu Smith coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll react to some of the things that Floyd said next. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Just spoke with Floyd Reese, Jonnu Smith coming up in about 5 minutes. Don't forget, our NFL pregame show this Sunday, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., getting you ready for the Jags and the Titans. Noon kickoff at Nissan Stadium. Of course, it'll have Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and forever Titan wide receiver Chris Sanders. Pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com and Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. So be checking that out starting at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Anything jump out at you guys from Floyd?
Well, he didn't seem to be very high on Clowney at the beginning. Of course, he sort of tempered the expectations for Clowney throughout the whole summer, so it doesn't surprise me very much. But, you know, he did flash early, which got everybody's attention. But in the second half in particular, I didn't notice him very much either. So that is one to watch because it doesn't matter to me. I keep saying the same thing. If he doesn't get a ton of sacks, that's the one thing. What I want to see is you have to account for him. You have to have two blockers on him because they've got a chance to have something special going. If he does that and you have Simmons, who is now clearly a guy that it's hard to block with one player, you've got a chance for big-time disruption if Clowney's anything close to what they hope he'll be.
Yeah. I think what stood out to me is how much they moved him around. That's what really jumped out at me, is how active he looked. I think it's a good thing, but you're right, and we talked about this on Tuesday. I get it. His first game, different offseason, just signed over a week ago, and it's out in Denver, blah, 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 blah. He looked winded at times, but, you know, we talked about the snap count, and to have him go 47 snaps. I mean, how many did they have snaps on defense?
58.
I was going to say, They didn't even have 60 snaps. I mean, he basically played the entire game, which was a little bit of a surprise. But I think what jumped out at me is just, you know, the way they moved him around. And that I think that's nice to have that versatility, right? To be able to have an athletic guy like that and to have him be very active on the line.
Yeah, and my hope for Clowney is that as he gets more acclimated to the defense, as he gets in better football shape. I mean, the flashes that you saw Monday, and you could tell he was amped up. I mean, he was just excited to be there. But the flashes that you saw, you will see him finish those plays, and they'll get, you know, exactly what they were hoping to get out of him. So I was encouraged by that. But, you know, Floyd has an eye for it, and I think that that's something that you certainly have to pay attention to. And as Willie brought up, I mean, Floyd was apprehensive about signing him anyway, so just have to see how that plays out. You know, something that really I guess popped out at me with in response to my question was on again the backup running back and Darrington Evans and what's to be expected of him. What's he going to be able to do? We have no idea. I mean, none of us spent a lot of time watching Appy State football last season, and that's, you know, that's the only game action he's seen in the last year. Was in college, so I don't know how much you can really expect out of him coming up if he plays on Sunday, but I do know that just knowing what I know about running backs and even watching Derek the other night, you gotta get him a little bit of help. You're not asking Darrington Evans to go and, you know, get 20 carries by any means, but he's got to give Derek a little bit of help just so they can preserve him as the year goes on.
I know Derrick Henry talked today and talked to the media about how, you know, he used to have 50 carry games in high school, and he's used to the big workload. I everybody understands that if there's ever a guy that looks like he's equipped, just like Eddie George, I'm not sure they want to go in. You know, I don't think he needs to be thinking about 31 carries a game. I don't know what you guys think is kind of the magic number. I think kind of 25 is where it needs to be max, in my opinion. It's just tough. When you start talking about that many carries, I mean, there's just history shows you in the league. If you have one of those 400 carry seasons, it just takes its toll on you. I mean, there's just a lot of proof that guys are never the same after that season.
No question. The history has shown that. The curse of 370 that Football Outsiders writes about every year. Less and less teams go to that threshold now with their top running back. It's a lot more like 300. And I think if the Titans are smart, 300 is the neighborhood. You could go over a little bit, but you don't want to get up near 370. And
I think 350 or below, don't you think?
Yeah, and he was
350 max, I would say. 350 max, especially if you're plotting a course through the postseason where you're probably going to have to play four postseason games to win the Super Bowl. Add on those carries. That's a lot. So whenever you can dial it down, you can't. There are some games where you're going to need 31 carries, right? There's nothing wrong with that for a particular game. But you've got to, and there are going to be the odd games that you get behind and you're not going to be able to run it that many times to them. But it's something to be aware of, and you want to have that number two there and available. And so somebody's got to play that role effectively.
Including the playoffs last season, he had 386 carries, which averaged to about 21.4 per game.
How many did he have last season?
386, including the playoffs. 303 in the regular season, 83 in the postseason.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to do that back-to-back years.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's averaging a little over 20 attempts a game, I mean, what that again, that's last year. I mean, Evans, if you get him, if you give Evans the ball, not just, you know, passes, but actually have him carry the ball, what, 10? Is that
10 touches?
Yeah.
That's kind of high. 7 to 10.
7 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
Plus using him, you know, in that receiving back role, too.
I mean, you want to use him more than Butch Jones did Alvin Kamara.
Sure. Sure. But you do – so you do wonder, does Alvin Kamara – is he having the NFL career that he's currently having if Butch Jones used him a lot?
Well, he would probably tell you if he was used a lot, he would have been a first-round pick and he would have made a lot more money out of the gates rather than begging the Saints for a new contract.
Yeah, very true.
Very he wouldn't true have now. Been a – what was he, a third, fourth-round pick?
Third.
With all the context here that we're talking about, you have to give him the ball the right amount of times to win the game is the simple answer. You can't sit there in the fourth quarter saying, well, you know, we've already given it to Derek 22 times, and that's about what we thought. This is going to put us over. Like, if you got a chance to win a game, you have to do what you have to do. But it is something to be wary of over the long haul, and having that guy to spell him here and there is important for sure. And Floyd made a great point about Darrington Evans. He goes, we just have no idea what you have right now. Now, they have a better idea because they've watched him in what little time he's been out there. But it's hard to evaluate a guy when he hasn't been on the practice field every day.
Yeah.
Let's head over to the facility. I think we've got Titans tight end Jonnu Smith is on the line with us.
He can run it, too.
He'd do what?
He can run it, too.
Yeah, he can run the football. I don't know. Maybe. I wonder if he thought. Let's ask him if he thought that was in the cards. Yeah. On that Monday Night Football game. Jonnu, did you think you were going to get a carry in the game against the Broncos? Elijah, we're going to have to put him on hold. I don't know. Is this my connection or was that?
No,
something
was going on there. Yeah.
Okay. I could not hear anything, so we'll see if we can get a better
connection.
That
sounded like the worst possible drive-through that you would have.
Right. If that was a drive-through, you'd have to say, "Can you repeat that again?"
Yeah, you'd have to. You couldn't make that work. So we need a restart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's up with that.
We'll see if he's back. Elijah, do we have Jonnu back?
We're working on it. Trying to establish a better connection. I'm going to have him call us back.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to step away?
Let's step away for a minute.
Give him a minute. Let them get a better connection over there, and we'll come back with Jonnu Smith on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's try to establish a better connection with Jonnu Smith. He's heard this before in his playing days. Let's do it again. Okay, let's do it again. Line up. Let's do it again. Jonnu Smith is on the line with us. Jonnu, we got there we go.
Yeah.
Much better. Did you ever hear that in your playing days? Let's do it again. Again.
Run it again.
All the time, man. All the
That's
time.
That's right. So we didn't hear your answer, and we were kind of joking with you of, hey, you know, really, Derrick Henry, because of the injuries, did you think maybe you could get a carry? I mean, you could carry the football. Did you think that could happen Monday night?
Yeah, man. I mean, whatever we got to do, whatever it takes to win, man. I consider myself a versatile player, and our coaches, try to get the ball and every one of our hands, who can make plays. So, I'm fortunate enough to be among that list. Guys, that can make some plays. So, man, I'm just really trying to put my team in the best position to win. So I got to get carry, man. That's what I got to do.
We all know this year has been a very, very strange year and an odd year. None of us have ever experienced anything like 2020 through, I would assume every level for the most part. I mean, maybe young, but since you college and now as a professional, you've never gone through an off season like this, no preseason, and then going, especially a Monday Night Football stage to kick off your season and virtually no fans in the stands. So now that you've gone through it and the dust has settled, it's a lot easier to talk about it because it was a win. But what was the experience like for you?
It was different, man. It was wasn't like anything that I was used to, all the way from Pop Warner. Even, you had, people on the side cheering and rooting for you. Fans are definitely a huge part of the game, and they are a huge part of which makes this game such a great game. And it was different, man. But at the end of the day, we're professionals, and being a professional, one of your jobs is to adjust and adapt, to any situation. So that's what we got to do, man. And there's no excuses. Whether we have fans or no fans, we got to perform at peak level.
It seemed like, Janu, around the league in week one, because of everything that's stated, the no preseason, just a different camp for everybody, that the teams that had a little bit better continuity in the offseason, more familiar faces or the same faces back on the roster, in your case on the offensive side of the ball, they seemed to do a little bit better than maybe teams that had more turnover. Did you feel that way too? I mean, the pieces on offense were, almost the same from last season. How much did that help you guys?
Yeah, just the familiarity, just the commonalities of, everybody knowing one another, man, being familiar with one another. And, just having the, chemistry with one another, man, and, the more time you put in, with your guys, man, the more you know them. On offense, that translates to, for example, just quarterbacks knowing where the receiver's going to be, receivers knowing, when that ball is coming out, backs trusting their landmarks, from the O-lineman, man. This thing is all tied in together. So just being familiar with one another and, trying to continue to grow, man, and be the best team we can be.
Tell us about your cohorts, who are familiar faces and names because they're back, and Anthony Firkser and Mykole Pruitt. I mean, you're certainly the first option at that position. You had, I think, 7 targets on Monday night. But it seems like in their role, when they do get an opportunity, those guys seem to make the most of it.
Yeah, man, that's kind of what we preach in, that room, man. We all are here for the same goal and, of course, the same purpose is to win a championship, and that's going to take group effort from each position group, and we got to all collectively come together, so in our specific room, we really set the standard on taking advantage of every opportunity, man, and because you don't know when the next one's going to come, so you just got to take advantage of every opportunity, whether it be in the run game, the pass game, and you don't know when that is the play that will make the difference of the game. So we, when our number's called, man, we make it happen.
Talking to Jonnu Smith, tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Home opener coming up on Sunday against the Jaguars. So, Jonnu, what time did you guys actually get home coming back from the game Monday night? It had to be a late night.
Man, I think we got home about 5:30.
So the sun was coming up almost.
Landed at 5:30. When I pulled up to my driveway, the sun was up.
Oh,
man. Exactly. So it was – but, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So, came into work the next day, man, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's just part of it on a week two.
So, and being it that was the first game and you hadn't had preseason games, how did your body feel after game one as opposed to, say, last year after the first game?
Yeah, definitely. You definitely feel the difference not being, tackled and, being out there, man. But that's why we work so hard in the off season. We weight train, we lift hard, we run hard. You know, so that we could be prepared. You know, for whatever happens, man. We didn't know that, you know, we wouldn't have a preseason. So, you know, that was something that we, you know, had to adjust to. Just, you know, part of being a pro. So, but we got to get out there and find the best way to win. And you know, it's definitely going to feel, you know, after every game in the NFL, man. You know, it's not going to feel like a, you know, a massage that you're getting from, you know, massage envy. But right. you know, but it's definitely. It was definitely different, you know what I mean? Just not having that preseason and, you know, just getting some live contact, man. But this is what we do, man, so it's all good.
We're talking to Jonnu Smith, Titans tight end here with us. I'm Darren Donovan Chase. What was it that, and we saw this last year right off the bat, when Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback, it seemed like that you and him just, you instantly connected. Was that just because of the reps in practice, or what was it that made you two really click, and we've seen it go all the way through the end of last year and now the start of this one?
I would just probably say the trust factor, man. You know, just you know, him trusting me and my ability, you know I'm going to go get the ball and, you know, make plays with the ball in my hands after the catch. I think he just trusts that. And, you know, not only me, but so many guys, man. And, you know, that's why we've had success as a team, because of the trust that we have one another. So I think that's the biggest part.
Jonnu, whenever you hear, you know, the outsiders say, all right, Titans should take care of the Jags, they should go in and defend their home turf and win this one, you know that there's nothing easy about an NFL football game.
Absolutely.
And they're 1-0 just like you guys. So when you hear those things, how do you put the noise aside, not listen to that? And also with these young guys that you have in the locker room, how do you try and teach some of that of, hey, we got to go out there and do our job?
Man, one thing that I would always, you know, kind of instill into people who don't really know the game or just is new to the game is, man, the people who have the most to stay are the people who don't play it. So that's just the facts of life, man. The people who, you know, are the most, you know, anal about, you know, little things, or, you know, if a guy misses a block, misses a throw, drop a ball, those are guys who've never played a down of football in their life, you know what I mean, but had the most to say. And, you know, it's just a part of the game, man. And fans and, you know, reporters, they're just going to be who they are, man. And you got to learn to block that stuff out. So, I'm so far away from articles and, you know, what people have to say about, you know, the NFL period, man, because, you know, I get, you know, what kind of scrutiny we receive, man, on a daily basis. So, I just, you know, try to block that stuff out. But I definitely do appreciate all the love and support that we get, man, because that comes along with it as well, man, especially the Titans fans, man. It's awesome. So, but, you know, I just try to, you know, tell those younger guys, man, to just, you know, don't worry, don't read into all that stuff, man, and, you know, just focus on what you got to do.
Jonnu, I'll end with this, not to put any pressure on you and your teammates. The last time the Titans started off 2-0 in a season, you were 13 years old. So no pressure. Go take care of business.
13 years old in the eighth grade, man. I still remember my teacher name, man.
You were in eighth grade the last time the Titans were 2-0.
Absolutely. Miss Johnstone. That was exactly her name, man.
There you go.
But she actually had a brother that played in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Time. Yeah, I think his name was Lance Johnstone.
Do you still talk to her?
I haven't talked to her since I graduated, man. I graduated from the eighth grade. Yep.
Well, you can let her know if you take care of business on Sunday. You're on the team now that broke that record, because you were 13 the last time the Titans were 2-0. So go take care of business.
I will, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for doing this.
All right, thank you. Yeah, my pleasure, man. Thank you.
That is Titans tight end Jonnu Smith, and that's true. It's hard to believe this team hasn't had a 2-0 start since 2008, which is a team that started off 10-0 that year. But they've got that opportunity this week with a win against Jacksonville on Sunday to be atop the division and 2-0 for the first time in 12 years.
Lance Johnstone played for the Oakland Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings on an 11-year career in the NFL, 72 sacks in his career.
How about that?
There you go.
Good little tidbit on the way out.
That was a nice little tidbit. I think we got to get in touch with Miss Johnstone if they go 2-0.
I know.
I think that's a good call. All right, we'll come back and we'll wrap up the second hour. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks coming up at high noon. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bounces one, and Fuentes is going to throw toward third. His throw is high, and now in a rundown is Kemp. And they're going to tag Marcus Semien. He's out. The throw to the plate, and Kemp is safe. Unbelievable. So Marcus Semien was out as Marcus trying to get to third. So it was almost a disaster for the A's, but then Kemp, it looked like, was able to avoid the tag.
Well, this is a ridiculous play by Nolan Arenado. Why? First of all, he gets the throw off, and now he's got Walters, but he sees Semien. He's going to tag him and now try to get Kemp at home, which they had, but Tony Kemp, an incredible athletic move. But watch here, Marcus Semien coming to third. And an incredible heads-up effort from Nolan Arenado, but Tony Kemp on the backside. Duck, dive, dodge, duck, and dive. TK.
So they are not going to...
Tony Kemp does it again.
Who thought he'd hear the dodgeball reference during a baseball game? What's the guy's name from the? What's the character? The
Patches
legendary?
O'Houlihan.
Patches O'Houlihan,
5-time ADAA All Star.
Patches.
I did not see this.
I didn't either.
I did see the one that went viral earlier in the year.
Oh,
but
you
got to
see
not
it.
Seen this one.
This one is even better.
This one's even better.
It's even better because he scores on the play. It's unreal how he contorts his body.
He's just athletic.
Mookie Betts almost pulled out a similar play yesterday, too. He actually did get tagged, but Tony Kemp now has scored twice got out of rundowns twice on just amazing body contortions or dodges. But you got to give Dallas Braden, the color commentator, who is really entertaining. He kind of makes the A's even more worth watching. They're a great team to start with. But he is fun to listen to. He is entertaining. And to pull out the dodgeball
right
reference
now.
Was pretty good.
Oh, my. You're kidding. We're going
to tweet
out
of
here. This? Oh, they got the guy at third. Oh, my God. That was almost a double play. Wow.
Yeah, I'm watching it, too.
Wow.
TK getting it done.
I'll tell you what. Last night, our place erupted at our practice. It's interesting. It's something kind of like actually, I think it was well. No, the way he's at the for one he did earlier was going back to third.
Yeah,
right. The first one was getting back to third. This one was scoring.
This one was coming home. So last night, so we played this fun little game where you start in right field, and everything rotates from right field. So the minute when you keep batting until you get out, and when you get out, you go to right field, and then you go through the rotation, right? Right field, right center, left field, third, short, second, first. We don't have a pitcher or catcher. And then when you get to first, when the next kid gets out, then you're back in the batting rotation. You have like four or five kids batting as well, so the whole time. And so you keep batting as long as you don't get out. Well, with that being said, no catcher. I had one of my coaches as the all-time catcher, so I said, home is in play. And Maddox just happened to be playing in left, and our big hitter came up, and there was a kid on first. His name is Roman, and our big hitter, Tyler, I mean, just smoked one. Over Maddox's head, it kind of in the gap between – actually, it really wasn't over his head. It was in the gap between left and left center. And so Maddox chases it down, and the kid on first, Roman, goes all the way to third. Maddox throws into third, and our third baseman catches it and turns around, and Roman's already halfway home. He slings it home, and I told you, our coach is in play. Well, our coach, Ryan, gets the ball, and he's not going to, like, slow play it. Like, he's going to go adult running towards Roman. In other words, he's going to try to get him out. Like, he's not going to take it easy on him. Like, he goes off in a full sprint, and Roman is going back to third, and he could tell, like, uh-oh, like, I've got adult running, you know, hard as he can, coming to get me. I'm not going to get back. And he literally basically just drops to the ground in a crouched position, stops dead in his tracks, both going full speed, and just kind of drops to the ground. And Ryan went running by him, stopped in his tracks. Roman gets up and runs on, and then he's chasing him home, and he beat him by like a half a step. And unfortunately, no one had it on video because, man, I would have put that sucker out. That sucker would have gone viral. The whole field, all the parents, everybody, and all the kids just erupted. And it was – so it wasn't like what Tony – because Tony's was back at third, which was an – it's kind of the same thing, but it was a little bit different. He didn't really do the moves that Tony did to get out of the way. He just kind of – you know, you don't expect the kid to stop in his tracks and just basically drop down. He's running full speed, and he's going to tag him, you know, and he thinks he's going to get him, and then the kid just drops to the ground, and he goes flying right by him. I don't know if that did it any justice. Probably not on radio. But it was one of the cooler moments we've ever had at a practice. If that ever happened in a game, oh, my gosh. The park would go absolutely nuts. But that's what's – that play – I'm glad you brought that up because I had not seen that. Tony Kemp – and I'm glad he's getting a chance to, you know, do this full-time with the A's. And he's making the most of it.
Me too.
He's getting a chance to play a little bit more because they lost Matt Chapman – for the season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so they're having to scramble some. It's a big loss. He's a great player, but they have a lot of depth on that team. That's a tough team. Mike Minor, who got traded to them, actually threw a shutout the other day. So he's starting to get his game together. They're going to win that division. So the A's have a shot. Can you imagine if it's the A's and the Rays in the ALCS? Those might be the two best teams in the American League. The Yankees just lost James Paxton for the season, so they continue to have major injury issues.
A's
and
the Rays.
That's weird. That's
weird.
James Paxton's injured? Huh. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. University of Kentucky. I don't know what happened.
He never happens.
He cannot stay healthy.
He's never hurt. Oh, wait a minute. He's never healthy.
The pitchers are dropping like flies, though. He's not alone. This year, it is hard to keep your staff together.
When you say, wouldn't that be crazy? It's not crazy. Like, it's – I look at it as more of – I would bank on those two more than I would.
Yeah, if it goes by chalk, that's who it'll be. Those are the two best teams.
I mean,
A's and the Rays for days. Well, I did it. I'm sorry.
Did. All right, we will come.
I'm ready for underdogs, so let's do this.
Thanks for pushing us straight to the break with that.
You're welcome.
We will come back. We'll start things off with silly underdog picks. That's next.